Good morning. The shear is going to deal with one question. The one question is, why? Why was the entire experience of Egypt necessary? Why did God bring the Jewish people through the horror of 210 years in a foreign land? Some 86 of them, they were enslaved. They were tortured brutally. Jewish children were cast into the Nile. Why? Who needed it? What was the point? What was the purpose? It sounds like a very simple question, but it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. There is so much to be said. Now, I don't believe that I'm going to answer the question in this one shear. Give many of the answers. But if we have to go into an extra shear, we'll go into an extra shear. Let's say, to sum it all up, we have two approaches. And Barbanel says it very clearly. It's clearly that this was all destined min hashamayim. God had already told Avraham Avinu at the bid vein haptorim, the covenant of the parts. Avraham had already been told by God, ki ger ye ezarach ba'eretz lo lahem, your children are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and they're going to be enslaved, and they're going to be suffer. V'gamas ha'goy asher ya'avodu dorav, in that nation who is going to enslave them, I will judge them. And afterwards they're going to go out with great wealth. So what was the purpose of it all? Who needed it? The family of Yaakov was already living in the land of Canaan. God could have maneuvered things and manipulated it so that they would become the masters of the land. And there it is. Jews are settled in Eretz Israel. Who needed it? There are going to be two basic approaches. Approach number one is, it was punishment for a sin. Approach number two is, no, not punishment for a sin, but this experience is going to do something to the Jewish people that is going to make it possible for them to be the nation of God who will receive Torah and ultimately be able to inherit the land of Israel. There's something about this experience that will stand them in good stead throughout all of history. Number one is a Medrash Tanchuma. I think I'm going to leave number one and make it number two. I'm confusing you, but that's all right. By the way, I'm sorry, I have to take a moment out. I was afraid that I would forget, and therefore I wrote at the top of the sheet that this sheet is in memory of Shulamit Subar, Alasho. She died last week. I think she came to learn here for about 15 years. Remember the little lady? Shulamit Subar. She had a stroke about a year or two ago. When she got well again, she came here with her Filipino Jose. A wonderful, wonderful woman. Wonderful woman. And just, oh, that's Leah Jacobs Machatenas. She was a wonderful woman, you have no idea. Loved learning. Used to schlep with buses to get here, rain, shine, strangers. So last night, I felt bad that I didn't do it last week. And you know, sometimes the cup gets, you know, you get confused with so many things on your mind. But she was, you can call her a tzedekas, you can call her, and she loved learning, she loved Torah. Left a beautiful family. She always had a nice thing to say about everybody and anybody, and even about the shiur. Wonderful, wonderful woman. So I dedicate this year in memory of Shalomit Subar Olah Hashoah. Yes.
I can get in touch with your family. Do you have an address or a phone number?
They finished Shiva already. That's why I said that I felt bad that I hadn't said it last week. I could have then told you about Shiva and still could have visited, but I... All right, you know, that's the way it is. But they lived at the... they lived at 25 Mem Gimel, 25 Mem Gimel, that block after Magen David Adom. The Medrash Tanchuma looks like something real big. By the way, it is big. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating. But we're going to leave that for one moment, and we're going to turn on to the other side to come back. The Ramban, and the Ramban appears in Parshat Lech Lecha, and the Ramban says the following. Maybe a little difficult to read, I'll read it to you. Vayehi dor ba'aretz. In Parshat Lech Lecha, it says that after Avraham Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, there was a famine in the land. Vayehi dor Avraham Mitzrayim, when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says, Hinei Avraham yorad Mitzrayim b'nei haro'ov lo gur sham. Avram went down to Egypt because of a famine in order to live there. L'hachadot nashyo, b'yimei habat soget, so that he should live during this period of drought. V'hamitzchim ashku oto. And the Egyptians dealt harshly with him. They robbed him. Chinam, for nothing. L'kachat et ishto. They took his wife. Sarah was taken to peril, forcibly. God took revenge of the Egyptians by bringing plagues upon them. And God took him out of there with cattle, with silver and gold. Paro also sent people with them to accompany them as they left. Now, by the way, don't you already see in exactly what happens with Avram? You have the whole scenario. There's a famine in the land. Yaakov and his children go down to Mitzrayim. They are treated horribly there. Ultimately, God brings great punishment upon them. And Klal Yisrael leave with great wealth. Ma'aseh Avot, Siman Mahane. By the way, in nearly every Pesach that we're going to deal with, what the Mefarshim are going to do is they're going to attempt to find comparisons between the Mitzrayim experience and some other experience. I'm giving you the Ramban first because the Ramban is so clear. In other words, the two seem to be like twins. The whole Mitzrayim experience of the Jewish people and what it was that Avraham went through. Same things. So now, he goes on to say, he's sending him a message, Kibonov Yerdu, when it's time, his children are going to go down to Egypt, Mipnei Harav, because of the famine, Lagur Shom Va'aretz, to live in that land. And the Mitzrayim are going to do bad to them. V'yikhumehem Hanoshim, and take from them the women. What the Ramban is referring to is because in the Seder it says, Kol ha-ben ha-yilod, any son who is born, ha-ya-o-ra-tash-li-hu, you should throw him in, cast him into the river. V'chol ha-bat te-chayun, every daughter, keep them alive. That's similar to the idea of he's taking the children, the girls, unto himself, just as Paro of old had taken Sarah unto himself. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kasher Amar, the Chol Habat Techayon, as it says, every daughter you should be alive. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you come with Moslem and go with them. God is going to take revenge of them with great, great punishment. Actually, you'll see them until they leave. The Kesef, the Zog, the Tzom, the Bato, the Mikne, Kovim, the other two Jews are going to walk out of Egypt. They're going to march out of Egypt with gold and silver and cattle. Same story. Same tasrit, the same thing. Ve'hechaziku ben l'shalchom ha'aretz. And they're going to hold on to them and tell them, get out. They want them out of the land, just as Paro wanted Avram out of Mitzrayim desperately. There wasn't a single thing that happened to the father, Avram, that didn't happen to the children. This is all explained in the Medrash Bereishit Rabbah. Rav Pinchas b'shem Rav Oshia, Rav Pinchas in the name of Rav Oshia said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to God, Tzei u'kvosh et haderech lifnei banecha. Go and pave the road. Take the steps that are ultimately going to be taken before your children. V'atom motzei, you're going to find, Kol Masha Kotov v'Avram, Katov v'Banav, whatever was written by Avram was written by his children. Whatever happened to him is also going to happen to his children. This happens to be the Ramban's introduction to the whole story of all the stages of the Bereishis, the beginning with Avraham. As Malkiel said, Ma'aseh Avot, what the fathers did, this is a simon labanim, an indication of what's going to happen to them. The Avraham Katun by Avraham, it says, by Yirah, Baritz, those are found in the land. Be Yisrael Katun by Israel, it says, Kizesh Nakayim Harav, it's 2 years now that there is famine in the Baritz in the land. Zeu Udu. Here the Ramban is taking us one giant step further. And the Ramban says you should know Avram committed a number of sins. The fact that he left Eretz Israel at a time of famine. Avram Avinu should have had enough trust and faith in God that God will provide for him. V'dar, you should know, ki Avraham Avinu chotochet godol b'shkoga. Avraham Avinu committed a terrible sin, but it was b'shkoga, it was not intentional. Number one, shehivi yishto ha-tzadeket b'mikshol avon mipnei pachado pen yargu. He says, he should never have put his wife, Sava, in danger there. The fact is that he placed her in grave danger. He should have had trust in God, that God is going to save him, his wife, and everything that belongs to him. Because God has the power, the strength to save. Also, his leaving the land, that he'd been commanded at the beginning, leave your land and go there, because of, even though it was because of a famine, it was a sin. God, in hunger, can save him from death. Here the Ramban ends. The Ramban ends by saying, because of that sin, there was a decree upon his children that they're going to have to go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine. So the Ramban now is taking the position, not only that what was done by Avram was an indication of what would happen to his children, but because of his sin, that's why they had to go down to Mitzrayim. The Mokom HaMishpat, Shomo HaResha V'Hachet. The place of judgment is precisely the place where the sin took place. The sin took place in Mitzrayim, and that's where judgment is going to be meted out to his children. All right? So we see an approach of the Ramban that yes, there was a sin, and now there's going to be expiation for the sin. All Mitzrayim experience. At the early part of the Ramban, it seemed to, it could have gone one way or another. It could have been that, for whatever reason it is, Avram is going through an experience which is an indication that this is what's going to happen to his children. Alright, that's one approach.
There's a problem with that approach, and that's the fact that we're told that God does not punish.
Absolutely. Of course, you're absolutely right. There's a problem with that approach. And I would have said it myself, but I knew somebody was going to say it. Of course there's a problem with that approach. Which means the following. You know what? I'm gonna take you to what I'm ultimately gonna say at the very end. And I don't know whether that very end is gonna be this year or next year, but it doesn't make any difference now. I'm telling it to you now. Anybody who says that it was sin, is also going to have to agree that this was a part, the part of the process of creating the nation. Whatever sin you're going to talk about, the generation in Egypt did not commit that sin. There's only one shot that I know of at this point. By next week I may know a great deal more. That seems to indicate that Jews suffered in Mitzrayim because of what they themselves did in Egypt. And that's going to be the Netziv in number 5. But anybody who says that this is atonement for a sin, for example, that was committed by Avraham Avinu, and we're going to see another one soon, you must say that the experience had to be a positive experience in and of itself. It had to be that which was going to create a great nation to exist for all generations. So we'll go step by step. Since I mentioned the Nitzir, let's take a look at what the Nitzir has to say. It's always fascinating what is in the experience of the person who writes it. You can see his experience, his life's experience, or the historic experience of his time come through. The Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Hashiva of the Veloz in the Yeshiva, we're talking about one of the giants of the 19th century. You will see what he has to say. Don't, I wish to tell you, don't get frightened of all the little print over there. It's number 5 on the other side. And I have three selections from the Netziv in 3 different parts of Torah, and each one of them is of such contemporary significance and relevance. The first one is on the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer, Vatimalei Ha'aretz Otam. The Jewish people were fruitful and multiplied, and the land was full of them. They were all over the land. Mehen Miboy, it should have said Vatimole Ha'aretz from them. Abu Lashon HaMikro, when the Pasuk says Otam, Bolalame, you know what the word Otam comes to tell us? Delo Eretz Goshen Levad, Shoyo Miyuchad Li Yisrael, Umo'o Mi Yisrael Levad. It says it was not only the land of Goshen, they came down to live in Goshen. It was not only the land of Goshen, Ela afilu kol Eretz Mitzrayim, Shehaya ikar yeshivat am Mitzrayim. Do you know where Jews ended up? Not only in their gorgeous, beautiful ghetto called Goshen, but they started moving in to Mitzrayim proper. Kamo shekosu, as it says.
They bought land.
Okay. Vahaya, next line, Vahaya kol makom palui, any vacant space, shematzu Yisrael liknot v'lashur, nityashu shom, wherever there was a vacant space that they can build, they can rent, they can buy, they moved in, into Mitzrayim. That's why it says by Makat b'chorop, the firstborn, that God had to pass over the houses of Jews to go from one Egyptian to the next. If they would all have been living in their ghetto in Goshen, God wouldn't have to do any skipping over. You know why he has to skip over? Because Jews have moved in to Egypt proper. And your next door neighbor on both sides can be a Mitzri. Mitzri on one side, Jew in the middle, Mitzri on the next side. There goes the neighbor. Take a look where it's on the line. He says the purpose of this pasuk at the beginning of the Seder, Vatimalei Ha'aretz Otam, the land became full of the Jewish people, this pasuk is the necessary introduction to everything that's going to happen. All the suffering that's going to befall the Jewish people is the result of the fact that they have begun to mingle and live amongst the Egyptians. That's what's happening. Ubar Pasuk Lahdiva says Sibat Sirat Mitzrayim Ugzerat HaMalchus. The pasuk comes to tell us the reason why the Egyptians hated them, and therefore the decree, where Paro says, well, we have to be worried about these people in case of war. They may very well be a fifth galo. Umachshevet Hashad. That's why there is a thought of suspicion. There's suspicion that's cast on the Jewish people. Mashal Olal Dat Yisrael. Never occurred to Jews that they would be accused of that. Yes?
Rabbi, how could it be possible that a slave would be able to live
among the Egyptians? They weren't slaves then. They came down to Egypt as free men.
2 weeks ago, the Parsha says they started buying land.
At the end of Parsha Vayigash, it says that they came down to dwell the land, Vayeoch Zuba. And they took hold of the land. What was supposed to be some kind of a temporary residence became an A1 residence. And not A1 in Goshen, but A1 in Mitzrayim. And the Nitziv is going to say, you think that you're becoming friendly with them, and you're moving into all sorts of layers and levels of Egyptian society, and you think they're going to love you? They're going to despise him. The more you move in, the more you're going to be hated and hunted. Kol Zebo, all of this happened in Shusha. Bichu Latsei with Tzom Yaakov Avinam, Shigeshu Taka Beretz Goshen. All of this happened, this suffering came upon them because they went against the will of their father Yaakov, who wanted them to live in Goshen and Goshen alone. Document it's Goshen. Kadesh Yu Badot, so they should be alone. The Nivdam Yimitzhayim, separated from Egypt. As it said, we said in Parsha Vayigash. Avalheim Lo Rotsu came. They didn't want to be separate. They didn't want to live in their ghetto. They wanted to mingle in all of the strata of society in Mitzrayim, and they mistakenly thought that they would be welcomed into the Egyptian family, just like we in the last 2 centuries thought that we're going to become full-fledged members of the family of nations. They don't want us in the Mishpucha. They don't want us, period. The Nitzid is going to say, the more we attempt to find favor in their eyes, the more we attempt to mingle, the greater is going to be the hatred that is manifested against us. I will handle Ross again. In the Medrash it says, "Oh, shepasul amul mizarta." Jews stopped circumcising themselves because of that reason. They wanted to be like everybody else. Shomru, because they said, "Niyek mitzrayim, let's be like the Egyptians." Daracha shekavu zidotam bekirbon. After they established the residence in their midst, matzut tov lehem nishtavot mitzrayim. You know what they found? It's good to be just like the Egyptians. We don't want to be different. We're going to be just like that. The Lo Yiyu Ikarim Sheheima Yehudim. It should not be recognizable that they are Jews. Umushuzer Pir HaMedrash Shehofa Hashem Libam Nistoyba. That's why the Medrash says, because you wanted to be loved by them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be hated by them. Ukvarbiyanu, we also explained in the Sefer Bereishis, Kigeri Yazaracha, and the pasuk of Kigeri Yazaracha that God said to Avraham that your children are going to be strangers, Asher hi hasiba shebechol dor ador on the Malay Lechalotay. The reason why they arise against us in every generation to destroy us, בשביל שאין רוצים להיות כגדים, we don't want to be like strangers ונבדלים מן האומות and separated from the nations of the world. He's going to deepen the idea that's being said here. Yes?
What about the fact that they didn't change their names and their appearances?
You're asking all the right questions. You're asking, she asked, but wait a minute. The Medrash says, in what schut were Jews redeemed from Egypt? Because they didn't change their names, and they didn't change their language, and they didn't change their clothing. So obviously, what we're going to have to say is, yesh v'yesh. It never said that all Jews moved from Goshen into Mitzrayim. By the way, by the Makkos, you're going to see that when some of the Makkos came, Pharaoh sent people to Goshen to see if anything happened to the Jews in Goshen. Thank God, it never happens that all of Klal Yisrael decides that they're going to be like the guy. Remember, he's talking about his own experience. He's talking about the 19th century. There were the movements out of Judaism or into the Das Dresser Welt out there. Yes, well,
the point being, at the time of Yitzchak, they had to undergo Brit Milah, but was that only because they couldn't do it during the years of the servitude?
No, because they didn't. Because there were many who didn't.
Was it before it was started? Before?
No, it was because they simply didn't. They
so
simply
that's the question. They kept their clothing, but they didn't do it.
But I'll tell you one other thing. Yeah. And one thing, Meshach Chachma says, that Meir Silva says, that there was a qualitative difference between the Mitzrayim experience and the Bavel experience. Jews went off into exile after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. They went off into Bavel. He says the difference between the two was that in Bavel, they kept Gufei Torah, the body of Torah. They were Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. You know what they didn't? They didn't watch what seems to be the small things. Their names were Babylonian names. They spoke Aramaic to the point that they had forgotten Lashon Kodesh. Their clothing was already Babylonian clothing. In Mitzrayim, the experience was Gufei Torah, the body of Torah, either was not known or was lost to them. Whatever they had learned from a Chavetz of Yaakov was lost. But for some strange reason, they maintained some form of identity. It may mean, therefore, that the same Jew who was in Mitzrayim and moved into a Goyish neighborhood and didn't fulfill Brit Milah, but I don't know, the name was still Reuven Shimon Levi Yehuda, didn't change his clothing. How many times do you have the experience? And I see it so often, and I have to smile. It could be man or woman, look completely secular. They walk into a room, they kiss the mezuzah. They walk out of a room, they kiss the mezuzah. There are just certain things that die hard or don't die. The same Jews who maintain those seemingly insignificant and not terribly important things, but you know what? Those were very, very important to maintain Jewish identity, and therefore the Meir Silva says they were able to survive 210 years in Egypt, but at the end of 70 years in Bavel, if God would not have brought them back to Eretz Yisrael, they would have been lost. Because those outer trappings, the name, the clothing, the language, they discarded it. That's why the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the Great Assembly, when Jews came back from Bavel, they had to compose a Shmona Esrei. So the Rambam says, why did they compose the davening? Why did they have to write a Shmona Esrei? Because he says Jews came back from Bavel, and they couldn't speak a straight sentence in Hebrew. Whatever language they spoke was a mixture of many languages. They push it, mamish, l'chayra, were not capable of spreading or speaking one language. Huh? How did they what?
They learned Torah. What did you ask?
Art scroll. In Babylonia. By the way, I'm not making a joke. Ezra and Nehemiah were written in Aramaic. Because that was the spoken language. And Ezra writes, Ubnei and their children who've come back speak Ashdodit and this, all sorts of languages, but they didn't know Hebrew.
They came back with mixed marriages.
In Mitzrayim, there were no mixed marriages. In Babylon, there were. And then, I'll tell you, sometimes we're guilty of it too. I always love the we Americans understand. When I heard my daughter once tell me, Abba, my kids are mishtolelim. You know what mishtolel means? They're going crazy. The kids are acting up. So she said, my children are mishtolelim. You should say that to somebody in the United States. They don't know what they're talking about. But we have incorporated into our English, we have incorporated all sorts of Hebrew words. Bashar Kodesh. It's the way it is. Yes?
Well, it seems it's been detrimental that they kept their appearances, because in order to save the Jewish people, you could have the Golos only 70 years. Hashem had to take them out of Babylon, otherwise it would have been nobody.
So?
And here, that was prolonged by 400 years.
In other words, what they're saying is, if in Mitzrayim they would have just dropped every semblance of Yiddishkeit in the first few years, we would force God to take us out. Pretty good idea. Pretty good idea.
Why didn't they think of it?
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's why there was also only 20%, maybe according to the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
that's also important. According to one Medrash, only 20% of the Jews of Egypt emerged from Egypt. 80% were snowed under by assimilation. By the way, in all of these Medrashim, there's an element of real truth in every one of them. This is true and that's true. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokecha. Go away with you. Just hold off now for a few minutes. I want to go to the next Nitziv. The next Nitziv happens to be a classic. An absolute classic. Bilam says, Hein am levodot ishkom, a people that dwells alone, ubagoyim lo yibchashav, and is not considered amongst the nations. That's an one translation. Let's see what it says over here. This is an unbelievable classic in our time. Lo kederev kol umo v'loshon kishohochim bakolah.
This is still the
Netziv. There are three Netzivs. There's a Netziv in Shmos, there's a Netziv in Bolak, there's a Netziv in Zokah Bracha, and each one adds to the general idea. Am levodot yishkom. Lo kederev kol umo v'loshon. Not like every nation and tongue, kishohochim bakolah, when they go into exile, umitarvim im hamadlivotam, they become one, they mix and they mingle with those who've taken them into exile. Masigim bazeh ahavo v'chashivut, makes a second point. The Irishman comes to America and becomes an Irish American. O'Malley, he's the cop on the beat, or he sits in Tammany Hall's smoke-filled room and makes mayors, you understand? Or, I don't know, imagine Fiorello LaGuardia, I don't know where he came from. Okay, they think he was named after the exit off the Ayalon. It's not so. The exit off the Ayalon was named after Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia.
No, he was
Italian. He was Italian. His mother was Jewish. Okay. I better stick to the Nitziv. Okay, let everybody hang in over there. Anybody who wants to do the homework and check it out. He says there's a qualitative difference between Jews who go into exile and all other people that go into exile. All other peoples, when they go into exile and they mingle and mix with the host nation, Masikim Bazer Ava v'chashivut, as a result of their mingling and mixing, melting into the melting pot, they achieve the love of those around them and importance. Kol echad b'inem yoter mishahayu nifradim ha'am. They are more like, because they have become Americanized. If they would continue to remain Italians or French or Germans, they would be despised. Avolokein Am Yisrael kishul levada. Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, when they are alone, they know mit arevim ahem yishkom b'menucha u'b'chavod. We are different. We are the ones that Am Levada, when we remain alone and separate in the lands of our exile, then Yishkom, we're going to be able to dwell in peace and tranquility. But Ubagoyim, if we want to become part of the nations of the world, Lo Yiv Chashav, we're not going to be considered anything. We're going to be hated and hunted and despised. Completely different. The Golus experience of the Jewish people is completely different than the Golus experience of billions of people who move from one country to the other on the face of this earth. As soon as they become Americanized, the first generation, you understand, still speaks English with an accent. The children go to Columbia, to Princeton, and to Yale, and they're full-fledged Americans. Jews, 10 generations can go by, and they're still Jews. And the mistake that they make is that they feel the more that they will abandon of that which makes them different, the more they're going to be loved, it will make absolutely no difference. Of course, there was something prophetic about what the Nitziv was writing. Because what's he talking about? He's really talking about Germany. German Jewry were the ones who marched first into the German community. And they thought that they were going to be loved. And they had their great poets and their great philosophers. And they had their great musicians. And they thought, you know, Ich bin ein, you know, Ich bin ein deutscher He died 50 years before the Holocaust. He didn't know that it was, he knew it intellectually, that it was not going to make any difference. Now it's not going to make any difference. It's going to make the position of the Jewish people worse. So he says, they will see that you're different, and since you're different, you're not competition. Upagoyim. Kasher Hurotzel Liyot Uravimam. How he learns the pasuk so beautifully. But if Bagoyim, you want to be like them, Lo Yitchashav, Eino Nechshav Keineyem, Litchashav Klal Adam. You're not even going to be considered like human beings. I'll end the sentence. You'll be considered vermin that have to be exterminated. Now you know, of course, why when I heard from a number of our leaders about 8-9 years back at the signing of the peace treaty with Jordan, Lo Od Am Levada Yishkom. We are no longer going to be a nation that dwells alone. Tragic mistake. We don't mention names over here. I don't want to get into trouble, you understand? Somebody will get a hold of this tape, and before you know it, they'll take me to Mikdash HaRusim.
It's me. They'll take me because I said it.
All right. Lo Od. But here's the Nitziv who said it, what, 100 years ago? 100 years ago, the Nitziv said, it won't work, it won't work. Lo Yitchashav. Let's take a look at the third piece of the Knesset. So you have to remember that Am Levada Yishkom U'Bagoyim Lo Yitchashav. If you're Am Levada, then Yishkom, then you can dwell. If you want to be part of the Goyim, Lo Yitchashav, then you can be out. At the end of Torah it says, V'Yishkom Yisrael Betach. The end of the pasuk is, Israel lived, dwelt in security. Artem Avayah, now he explains, Asher Ein Ke'el Yishudin Van Hogo Penis Shel Uma, Mama, Shehen Yishnu Betach, V'Gam Bodav. The pasuk uses two words. For Israel to be safe and sound, to be Betach, to live with security, they must be Bodav. They must be Bodav. Upeish. Be'eit, he b'minuchat ha'nefesh b'ava. Thank you very much. Be'on l'chaveiro. At a time that Jews are dwelling well in love with one with another, u'b'li'it chavutim sharu motol on two things. We are living in peace with one another, and we are also not in competition with the nations of the world. He's making, there are two conditions over there. Just a thought for a moment. If this whole country would absolutely be united, that Eretz Yisrael is ours, there isn't a power in the world that can move us. Nothing in the world can move us. It would become clear to the whole world that we are dealing with a force of such power and such strength, nothing can happen. But when we are torn apart from within, that's our weakness, the chink in our armor, the breach in our wall. And therefore the nations of the world feel that they can make all sorts of demands. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The demands that are made upon us are demands that no other people makes upon themselves. Only upon us. It's all the result of the fact that we are not united from within. And then it's unbelievable how we saw things. Upegesh be'et hibim menuchat ha'nevesh bi'avo b'nor l'chavero. When there is love between men, Jew and fellow Jew, and there is no competition with the nations of the world. Ubodod, the word bodod means not mingling or mixing too much with the nations of the world. With friendship and intermarriage. Elobodod, muvdolim, umitsuyonim if neyatsumun, but being alone and separate. Ushtei midot halalu heima ein Yaakov. The pasuk says, "Vayishkan Yisrael betach bodot ein Yaakov." Ein Yaakov, the eye, the light of Yaakov. Hayim midato vukato vukas. Show shel Yaakov shebonav yukim. What Yaakov really wanted, that his children should be bodot, and his children should be betach. And bodot means separate from the rest of the world. Not involved, not moving into all the strata of society in the world. That's what he wanted. So this is, we're going to have to go through the rest. It takes a long time, but basically, this is the idea. So what's the Netziv say? The Netziv, the Netziv, if we're going to take from the Ramban to the Netziv, the Ramban said that the whole Mitzrayim experience was because of what had been done by Avraham Avinu. He went down to Mitzrayim when he shouldn't have gone down to Mitzrayim. He endangered his wife when he shouldn't have endangered her. In a sense, he's saying that the Mitzrayim experience is forgiveness for a sin, the sin of Avraham Avinu. Hate and onesh, sin, crime, and punishment. And as he says at the end, the Ramban says, "B'mochem pesha," in the place where the sin was committed, that's where the kapora is going to be. I've taken, we go 700-800 years later, and we come to the Netziv, whom we can call a person of our time, and he sees it not because of an ancient sin of Avraham Avinu, but a sin that was committed by Jews in Mitzrayim. That generation, they brought it upon themselves, because Jews have to remain separate. And the whole Dor Vador on the Malayim Halotayno is because we attempt to be part of them. And it's just not going to work. It's not just not going to work. I'm going to begin. I see clearly we're going to go into extra innings because there's still an amazing Rav Soloveitchik that is going to take. I'm going to use Rav Soloveitchik to explain all of the portion. So you're going to get part one now. I'm going to begin the Medrash Tanchuma. And it's such a beautiful Medrash Tanchuma. It's gorgeous. And I think that the end of the Medrash is going to be, I would say it's going to be a surprising Medrash, and you're going to learn a great deal. It's so worthwhile. I wouldn't do it to you if not that I felt it was worthwhile. So we'll begin. If we have to finish it next week, we'll finish it next week. Ve'ela Shemot. This is the opening Medrash Tanchuma in Sefer Shemot. In addition, it's the opening Medrash in Medrash Shemot Chava. Nearly the same words. Ve'ela Shemot. Zesh Ra'a Kartuv. This whole bit is in order to explain a famous pasuk. And you should know the pasuk Baal Peh by the time we finish. Choseich Shifto Sonei Beno Ve'ohavo Shicharo Musar. That's a famous pasuk. I'm afraid to say we most probably know it better in English than we know it in Hebrew. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Choseich Shifto, the one who withholds the rod and does not admonish or educate a child. He who spares his rod, Sonei Beno, hates his son. We think that, you know, if you don't discipline a child, he's going to love you, you're not going to get upset with him, you're not going to yell at him, you're not going to tell him anything, you're not going to make him feel bad, can't make him feel bad. And we think, of course, that's the way to educate a child, because you can't make him feel bad. You know, because if you make him feel bad, who knows? He must be, in 20 years from now, he's going to end up by a psychiatrist, and then he's going to tell him about the terrible childhood that he had, and all the nightmares that he has, and his father, that's it. Chosek Shifto, Shlomo Melech says, the one who spares the rod, does not use the rod on his child, Sonei Beno. I mean, obviously he doesn't mean corporal punishment. Take it easy. We're not in favor of corporal punishment. You don't beat kids up. We don't do that. What it means is, Shiftecho u'mishantecho heimo yinachaloni. The idea that we have to admonish. We have to send clear messages. We have to educate. That's right. But you have to send clear messages. You can't send wishy-washy messages to children where they don't get clear direction. By the way, for that they'll end up at a psychiatrist. And for that they'll tell the psychiatrist, what should I do? My parents never gave me any direction. Anything I wanted to do was okay. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Children need direction. By the way, I think in that respect, we remain children for a whole lifetime. We all need a certain degree of guidance and direction. Not easy, not easy. Life comes up with all sorts of challenges, all sorts of things that we have to think and to rethink. Choseich Shifto Sonei Beno, the Shicharo, the Ohavo, Shicharo Musar, the one who truly loves his son, Shicharo Musar, disciplines him alertly. Okay, we'll find out what it's all about. Benomei Shabola. By the way, this medrash is going to take us through a few significant places in Tanakh. Questions that may have troubled you are going to be answered in this medrash in an amazing way. And three quarters of the way through the medrash, you're going to still wonder, what does it have to do with Parashat Shemot? Don't worry, You'll find that out too. I'm not promising you're going to find it out today. All right. The Noach of Olam, in the normal manner of things in the world, Odom Shomal Havedo, a person says to his friend, Ploni Hika Es Bilcha, that fellow hit your son. Reuven tells Shimon, Levi hit your son. Reuven tells Shimon that Levi hit your son. How is Shimon going to respond to this when he finds out that Levi hit his child? Yoreg imo avlechayav. This is a classic Hebrew expression. You go down to him into his life, meaning that this Shimon is going to make sure that in any way that he can hurt Levi, he's going to do it. You lifted a hand against my kid, oh, are you going to get it? Yoreg imo avlechayav, even if it means that he's going to cut off all sources of parnasa for Levi, that's what he's going to do. Even if the punishment does not fit the crime, doesn't make any difference. And then, Umar Talmud Loma, what does the pasuk mean? Chosef Shifto Sonei V'no L'Lamecha. You see what the connection is to me. What does the pasuk say? Chosef Shifto, the one who withholds the rod, hates his son. L'Lamecha, to teach you. Shekol Amaneh B'no Minhar Mardut. Whoever withholds his son from Mardut. And the word Mardut over here means discipline. Really strong discipline. So, you know, at the end is going to be with that child. Yotzel Tarbut Ro'ah. He's going to go out and become evil. And the end is going to be, you thought that he's going to love you. You know what the end is going to be? The father is going to hate the child who, because of great love, he didn't admonish him. Out of great love, he didn't tell him what's right and what's wrong. And you think you're going to love him more? You're going to end up hating him. Shekin Matsinu, and now the Medrash is going to take us through different places tonight. Be Yishmael. Shehoyah lo garguin al Avram Aviv. Veloni do. Yishmael, there was really love between Avram and his father and him. Veloni do, but Avram didn't educate him. Avram didn't do what had to be done for Yishmael. The Yotzel Tarbos Roy went out and he became evil. Usno Avram, and Avram hated him. Vahutzioni Betorei Kam, and he sent him out of the house empty handed. Ma'asa Yishmael. What did Yishmael do? You know what he did? Kishonu Ben Chameshes Rishonu, when he was 15 years old, he chil Havim Tselem Mashuk, Boyamitzachik Boviyoto, he brought a Getshkala. He bought an idol from the marketplace and he would play with it. And then from play, he began to worship it. As he saw other people do. Yishmael see, Yishmael do. Right? Miyar, immediately, Vatero Sores Ben Havaram Mitzvah, Ashiyodim Avram Mitzachi, Soros saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, who had given birth to Avram, she saw him Mitzachik. And Sarah takes action, immediate action. And what does Mitzachik mean? Joking around? Then Schokha Makana Lavazar. Schok over here means idolatry. Shinema. Vayeshim Ha'am Lecho Vishasova Yokumu Mitzachik. By the Egel it says the people sat down to eat and drink, and they arose Litzachik to play Tafa. Miyan, Daton Avram, she immediately said to Avram, second time the Medrash uses the word Miyad. She took action immediately, and she told Avram, Garesh ha'umahazot edra, cast out this maidservant and her son. Shema yilmo b'ni orchotav, lest my son is going to learn his manner of conduct. Miyad vayera adova ma'od b'eini Avram alodot b'no, it was bad in the eyes of Avram about his son. God said to Avram, let it not be bad in your eyes. Call Asher, Tomai, Lechel, Sora, Shema, the Kola. Whatever Sora says to you, listen to her. We cannot alum it. From here you learn, Shari Avram, Tophe, was Sora, but in the earth, that in prophecy, Avram was less than Sora. And by Yashkim Avram, Baboka, this is the Torah reading of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the first or the second? I'll tell you why I remember that. By Yashkim Avram Baboka, Avram got up in the morning and he took bread and a canteen of water. L'lamedcha, in order to teach him, Shoyosonim Yishmael, Shiyotzul Tarbasa, he hated Yishmael because he had become evil. V'shilchohu, that Hoverish Dorekom, he sent him and his wife Hover away empty handed. U'terodom Yibeto Al Kach. And he, sent him, threw them out of the house. And why do I remember that it's Rosh Hashanah? So first of all, you should know what the Kriyas HaTorah is. But I remember one Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, a fellow comes over me in one of the shuls where I was a rabbi, only in two in Chutz La'aretz, I don't want to tell you which one. And he's mad. This fellow is very angry. This is terrible. Abraham casts out his wife and his son, and all he gives them is a canteen of water and some bread. He couldn't give her camels and donkeys and horses and maidservants and men servants and steaks. And I knew him. He was one of a new budding group of American Jewish liberals. Also, I gave away already which shul it was. A certain two, one in Canada, one in the United States. All right. So here was a real liberal, you understand. His heart went out for every area in America except for the Jews. Okay? And he's very angry with me. So, you know, go ahead. I'm a bit over there, but the Medrash asks you. Can it occur to you, Shavron, Shekosovo, Avron, about whom it says, Avron, Kovid, Moab, the Mikta, the Kesem, as well, Avron, who was so heavy with cattle and silver and gold, but he's going to set them out empty handed? The Medrash asks the question. Hello? But below Ksus, he's going to send them out without clothing, below Mazah, without food, below Kesef, below Behema. El Lamedcha to teach you, Kibush Yotzu Matar Mitzvah, Lo Nifnei Lo. Since he became evil, Avram didn't even want to look at him, didn't want to have anything to do with him. In Kain Abu, but it says this is very important. The Pasuk says it was bad in the eyes of Avram. What was bad in the eyes of Avram? What does it mean when it says, Vayeda Adov Yod Bein Avram Avodot Beno? It was bad. We usually think that the pasuk means that he feels very bad that his wife is telling him, throw the boy out of the house with his mother. That's what we think it means. So he says, no. Sheyotza Lotar Busra. He knows that Sora is right. You know what he feels badly about? That his son has turned into a Rasha. And then you find when Yishmael grew up, Yotzov of Rasha's Drachim, for the molastiness of his, he went to the crossroads and he robbed from people. Shenema, as it says, Vahu Yeh Per Odom, Yodo Bakol Yakobo. We know what Yishmael is. Torah was right. The Medrash is going to continue telling us about the relationship between Yitzchak and Esav, the relationship between David HaMelech and a number of his sons, Avshalom, Adoniyo ben Chagit. Each one of the relationships is going to be studied, and then we're going to have to come back to what does it have to do with Parashat Shemot. Chosei Shift on Salei Beno. For Ohavo Shikharon Musatroyim learned that passage. Spare the rod and spoil the child. If you really love a child, you have to educate him. I'm sorry, this is going to be a two-part shiur. Everything will be brought together.
Can I make one more comment?